Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this fourth Sunday of Advent. It is not Christmas till the sun goes down. So we're glad to have you with us this morning. Welcome to those of you joining us from home. It is a blessing that we can be one community. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship today with our confession. Invite all who are able to stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who comes to wake us from sleep, who leads us into the light of grace. Amen. Let us prepare the way of the Lord by confessing our sin against God and neighbor. God of grace and mercy, we confess that we have not prepared for your merciful reign among us. We ignore our neighbors in need and fail in the labor of justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your light and to seek the things that will endure until Christ comes again in glory. Amen. Comfort, O comfort my people, says our God. In Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, and all things are made new. Rejoice in this good news. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Jesus, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that would obstruct your mercy, that willingly we may bear your redeeming love to all the world. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated, and we will sing all four verses of Light One Candle as we light the Advent. We praise you, O God, for this wheel of time that marks our days of preparation for Christ's advent. As the light of these candles glow among us, open our eyes to see your presence in the lowly ones of this earth. Enlighten us with your grace that we may sing of your advent among us in the Word made flesh. Grant this through Christ our Lord, whose coming is certain and whose day draws near. Amen.
first reading is from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to my shepherd, my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to the prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more. As formerly, from the time I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Greetings, favored ones. It occurs to me that the angel Gabriel must have been one of God's special angels, one of God's go-to messengers. After all, just before the gospel reading for today, Luke reminds us that God sent the angel Gabriel to the temple where Zechariah was performing his priestly duties. The angel brought God's message to Zechariah that his prayers had been heard and that his wife Elizabeth, even though they were both advanced in years, would bear him a son. And he was to name him John. If you've been paying close attention these recent weeks of Advent, we've encountered John quite a lot. Among the many details we've heard, We learned how he dressed, what he ate, how he preached, how he baptized. And we're told that John proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And we heard how John knew his place as the forerunner to Jesus. We heard him confess that he was not Elijah, nor a prophet, or the Messiah. Rather, he self-identified as preparing the way for the one who would come after him, the one whom he himself was unworthy to even stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. And we heard how John came to testify, to bear witness to the light. He admitted that he himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone who is coming into the world. But today's story picks up right after Zechariah was carrying out his priestly duties. He was in the temple, and after Gabriel's appearance, telling him his prayers had been heard, and though he and his wife Elizabeth were advanced in years, they would bear a son. Then the story continues in the sixth month when God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a woman whose name was Mary. The angel announced to her that she too was to conceive and bear a son and that she was to name him Jesus. For Zechariah, hearing the angel Gabriel's message that he and his wife were to become first-time parents
in their old age must have seemed unlikely to him, if not impossible. So Zechariah asked, how will this be and how will I know it? To which I'd like to add my 2 cents worth and say, Zach, old man, you'll know. In fact, when the time comes, there won't be any way you will be able to deny that this was part of God's salvific plan. I can say that with an air of confidence because I've personally been a witness to how God often acts in surprising and unexpected ways. And I'm guessing that you have as well. Otherwise, none of us would be here. Besides, it must have seemed equally impossible for an innocent young girl like Mary to even begin to imagine that she herself would be the bearer of a child, never mind the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So, like Zechariah, she too asked, how can this be? How can this be? And yet our faith teaches that God came to us as a vulnerable child born in a lowly manger, and that God comes to us in the mystery of the Word made flesh, full of grace and truth, and that God continues to come to us in bread and wine, the very real presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that God keeps on coming to us through the Holy Spirit, who nudges and pokes and prods us into a whole new way of being, a whole new way of living, a whole new way of experiencing life with God and with one another and with God's whole creation. Still, I think it's an honest question. How is this possible? It may seem a bit far-fetched to even say this out loud, but we've certainly been given a clue in the gospel according to Luke, because from his perspective, he says that the angel brought these words, declaring, nothing will be impossible with God. Or we could say, with God, anything and everything is possible. And so just as the angel Gabriel greeted a stunned Mary, I'd like to suggest that the angel Gabriel is bringing a message to you. Greetings, favored ones. The Lord is with you. You see, I am fully convinced that God reminds us of the promise because God intends to use you, your God-given gifts, no matter what station of life you find yourself in. I happen to believe God will use you to accomplish great things, godly things, righteous things. Like Mary, this message may perplex you, confound you, confuse you, even scare you. It should. But God has great plans in store for you. As the prophet Jeremiah declared, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. And as the angel reminded Mary, so I remind you, nothing is impossible with God. For with God, all things are possible. Protest all you want if you wish. Just know that our God is patient. Relentless, in fact. You can be sure God will not give up on you. Not now. Not ever. You see, our God is all about transforming love. That transforming love is there to envelop each one of us, and all of us together. We are the living body of Jesus Christ. And favored ones, there is much work to be done. For in this dark world we live in, evil persists. God needs us to proclaim the good news through our own words and deeds, with hearts on fire, burning in time with God's own heart, burning for peace and justice in all the earth. God needs us to be instruments of God's transforming love until every heart is beating in time with God's, until each and every heart is burning for justice and peace. So with innocent trust like Mary, we too can boldly say, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." This, O favored ones, is my prayer for you. Especially this day as we transition from Advent to Christmas. My prayer is that we, the people of God, will share God's transforming love with one another and with everyone we encounter along the way. Let it be so. Amen.
The whole church through the ages, let us confess our Christian faith
using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. With hope and expectation, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all awaiting Christ's advent. Equip and inspire your church to boldly proclaim the gospel. Strengthen the ministry we share with our sister congregations of the Emerald Cluster, the Oregon Synod, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As fields and crops lie dormant, bless the land with holy rest. Prepare it to thrive so that it produces abundant food in due season. Protect animals who hibernate and provide for all who scavenge for food in this lean season. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Teach humility to those who hold positions of authority. Break down systems of oppression, especially those systems that perpetuate inequality and exclusion. Unite global citizens and leaders of all nations to work together for peace and justice and to bring an end to war and violence. Lord, in your mercy, look with favor upon all who cry out to you. Accompany all who are afraid or struggling in mind, body, or spirit. Bring comfort to those in need of healing. Today we remember before you Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Dal and Gay Haverlin, Doug and Jody Martin, Morgan McCrory, Gretchen and Jeff Seamus, and David Zhou's extended family in China. For whom else do the people pray? For Luke and Peter. For all these we've named aloud, and for those we hold in our hearts, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks, O God, for Mary, and for all your servants in every generation who lived according to your promise. Strengthen us by their example until the fullness of your glory is revealed. Provide comfort to all who grieve, especially Debbie McCrory at the death of her mother, Mary Harwood, and Mary Fitz at the death of her husband, Dave. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And now in our life together, just a few brief announcements. As you know, we are transitioning this very day into Christmas and celebrating the joyful arrival of the Christ child in the midst of this world. And so I want to remind you that we have two services, the first at 4:30 p.m. this afternoon, as the sun sets in the west, and we will greet in the newborn king. And at 9:30 in the evening, we'll worship again. We'll gather for worship again. And then finally, tomorrow on Christmas Day, we'll gather for worship at 9 a.m. So please make note of that. Now, because we have this transition and there aren't a lot of hours or days between them, I would encourage you, if you're able, to stay and help us with a few chores this morning so that we can get some things rearranged and the paraments on the altar changed, things like that. So if you're able to help at the end of the service, please let Pastor Ben or myself know. We will now continue with our meditation.
By your merciful hand, abundance springs up from the earth. Receive and bless these gifts of your own bounty. Let them be a sign of your steadfast love and faithfulness for all people, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, you comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new, in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith, as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please be seated. For distribution this morning, we'll invite you to come forward through the center aisle, receive the cup in the form of a wafer, and then intinct or dip it in the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice. We will start with, well, the lectern's not there, so we'll call it the Christmas tree side. And then Pastor Laura and I'll switch sides, and we'll do the pulpit side. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ that bids you come.
Thank you.
And now, may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. I invite all who are able to stand. Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, you come to us in the broken bread and the cup we share. Make us ready always to welcome Christ into our hearts and send us forth to be your people of the world, announcing your coming among us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now receive the benediction. The God of peace bless you, the love of Christ sustain you in hope, and the anointing of the Spirit remain upon you now and forever. Amen. Thanks be to God.